All right, would you turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 5? Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, in the past 2 or 3 weeks, I've been talking to you about Adam and Eve, and we've discussed the things that happened to them in the Garden of Eden, the sin that entered into the world, the condition of Adam before eating of the tree of life, knowledge of good and evil, and his condition after that. And I want you to notice today, and what I'm going to be doing today now is I want to try to show by the scriptures that it is a sheer impossibility for man to save himself. And I want to show that by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have absolute positive assurance of eternal life. You cannot have eternal life without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, the preaching and the teaching today in the churches is that if a man works right, that if he does good, if he treats his neighbor right, and he doesn't lie, and he doesn't cheat, and he doesn't steal, and if he does all these good things, that he'll be all right if he does that in their church. The first qualification is to walk the aisle for Jesus, depending upon the church, of course. If it's the Roman Catholic Church, then it would be considerably different, and it would have to do with the training from the youth up and so forth. Others, it would have to do with a dedication as a child, baptism, and then later on baptism upon repentance. If it was a Pentecostal church, repent and be baptized for remission of sins, get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. If it's a Carmelite church, it would be as in Mark chapter 16, believe and be baptized, and of course the whole thing strung out in segments: repentance, faith in Jesus, believing in the death of Jesus, baptism for remission of sins, keeping the commandments, on, and there are just numerous churches that we could add to this list that have all their qualifications of what a man's going to do, how a man's going to get to heaven. But the fascinating thing about all these is that once a man does all that, he still does not know that he's saved. A man can walk the aisle for Jesus and pray through at the altar and be baptized and receive the Lord and get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and treat his neighbor right and do good and on, and they still do not assure him that he has salvation. If he holds out and holds on and keep the commandments and whatever unto the end, there is some possibilities that maybe that he will be saved, but of course no one can know that, they say, in spite of the fact that the Bible says that these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. I know that I have eternal life. I know that life is in Christ. I know that I have Christ, and Christ is my life. And when Christ, which is my life, shall appear, I shall appear with him in glory. I know these things, and I know them because the Bible said them. Now, that's the basis for what I'm preaching. I want you to see what man lost in the garden. Number one, he lost the image of God. That is, he lost the moral characteristics of God that were there. God said, let us make man in our image. And God created man in his own image. And when that man was finished, he had a moral character about him like unto God. He was, in fact, within himself, he was good. Yet that goodness had never been tried, so it had to be proven, hence the placing of the tree of knowledge of good and evil there. But when man sinned, he lost that moral characteristic of God, and he became, as it were, morally depraved. Now, I believe in total depravity. And the word depravity is not a Bible word in the sense of finding the word depraved in a King James Bible. Yet there are words in the King James Bible that, for instance, the word depraved just simply means crooked or distorted or perverse in nature or wicked or corrupt by nature and so forth. That's what the word depraved means. Man became morally depraved. He's a morally depraved character. He is crooked. He is distorted. He is perverse. He is wicked and so forth. Please turn to Romans. Notice in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1. All right, in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them over unto vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which do commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And that's clear. Man is morally depraved. Totally depraved with no goodness about him. Turn, please, to chapter 2. And look in chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. That's man in general. Whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. In other words, when mankind looks upon other men and sees that other men are immoral, then he must remember that he's a part of mankind and he also is immoral. If he finds that men are thieves, then keep in mind that he is a part of manhood. If he finds that men are corruptors and so forth, he's a part of them. In other words, when I judge others, when I see what they are, I see myself for what I am before God. There is none good, no, not one. Turn to chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 12, the last of the verse, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their tongue, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery in their ways. There is no doubt about it. The image of God is gone from man, morally speaking. Man is a morally bankrupt character. He has no moral goodness. I don't care who he is. I'm talking about any man. Saved, lost, either way, man is corrupt. He is immoral. He is bankrupt. Man lost the moral image of God in the garden, and that moral image passed down from one generation to the other, and it has shown up in my life, it has shown up in your life, and it has shown up in their life. You are a bankrupt character, morally speaking. Your characteristics in nature are not godly at all. In nature, you are morally depraved. You are crooked, distorted, perverse. And you'll do just about anything where your human nature is concerned, there isn't many things that you wouldn't do if the circumstances presented themselves. Mankind lost the image of God. Number two, man lost the knowledge that was his as a son of God back there. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Man has lost that knowledge, that is the ability to discern between good and evil. He cannot discern between good and evil. Trying to discern between good and evil, he'll end up being deceived. He doesn't know right from wrong as far as his natural man is concerned. Why, if we got a bunch of people together in one room and we got to discussing what's right and wrong with these people, one man would say this is right, another say I don't agree with that at all, I don't believe that's right, I believe that's wrong. And another one over here say, well, I disagree with both of you, the whole truth of the matter is this is right and this is good and all. No way, folks. Man lost his ability to discern between good and evil, therefore God gave him a conscience. You see, there might be somewhere where a man wouldn't have the Word of God, and so by his conscience, God Almighty shows him what good and evil is. Turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. You've got a conscience. Romans chapter 2, verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. As many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto themselves. Now here's the verse. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. A man by his conscience comes to know things that are right and they're wrong, and then he begins to deny that conscience, and as he denies that conscience, he sears that conscience as with a hot iron. That's fascinating to me when I think about that. For instance, I look back there in that garden, and you know the first thing that Adam and Eve did after they ate of the tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil? They saw their nakedness. And the first thing they did after they saw their nakedness was make themselves aprons to cover themselves. They were conscious of their nakedness. They were conscious of a wrong in them. Something was wrong there. They became conscious of that. But I'm saying that that is that people today have a seared conscience. Why do I say that? Because all I have to do is go down to the beach this summer. I don't have to wait to go down there, but I can go down there and see them. And I find that there are people out there that they have no conscience of nakedness at all. They're not ashamed of their nakedness. In fact, they're proud of their nakedness, and they're glad to expose their nakedness and to make a point of exposing their nakedness. And it isn't just a matter of bathing suits anymore. People talk about three-piece bathing suits or two-piece or this and that and the other. Baloney. They're not bathing suits at all anymore. Why, I don't find any indication in the Scripture that Adam took a fig leaf and gave to Eve for here, another fig leaf to put here, and another fig leaf down here, three fig leaves. The passage said they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The way that I know that people have a seared conscience today is on the basis of the fact they don't blush anymore. They're not ashamed anymore. Why, since when did you see anybody blush? That's a rare thing when people blush. People are not embarrassed by their nakedness. Why, they're proud of their nakedness. The big deal in the movie star world today and the model world is to expose your nakedness as a centerfold in some stupid magazine somewhere. Their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. Man became morally depraved, lost his knowledge, his ability to discern between good and evil, but God gave him a conscience and he seared that conscience. Doesn't bother him anymore. The passages that we read back there in Romans chapter 1 bear out the fact that man does not understand the difference in good and evil. The Bible said that he does not understand. Now watch. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now you see, he can't understand the things of God either. But God hath revealed them unto us by Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And then verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Not only is man's nature depraved, and he's lost his understanding of what good and evil is, he cannot understand the things of God anymore as a result of what happened in the garden. And so he became reprobate in his thinking. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 1 verse 28, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The word reprobate means the same thing as a junk heap, junkyard, junk automobile. In other words, man's mind is a junk mind. Hence, he goes to wisdom. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And notice verse 19. Verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, will bring to nothing the understanding of prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. Why, the greater the education today, the further away from God the gap. By wisdom, a man never did come to understand what sin is. Why, the wisdom of this world today has made sin sociably acceptable. Why, there are things in 1981 that are socially acceptable that in 1940 men would have been run out of town for being involved in. Why, there are things that happen consistently in the living rooms of every home in this town through television that in 1940 would not even have been permitted anywhere. Man became reprobate in his thinking. Turn, please, to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Look at his heart. The Bible tells me in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Look in Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Far from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Turn, please, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Whose flesh? All flesh. The works of the flesh. Makes no difference whether it's yours, mine, or theirs. The works of the flesh are manifest. What are the works of the flesh? The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication. That includes the Pope in Rome. That includes the pastor, the First Baptist Church, the Second, the Third, and the Fourth, and the Presbyterian, and all the rest of them. The works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, and so forth and so on. There is no doubt about it. You are no good. There isn't anything good about you. You were born into this world with depraved evil nature about you. God gave you a conscience, and you have seared that conscience, and things are socially acceptable to you right now that are absolutely despicable in the eyes of God as far as the Word of God is concerned. You're no good. Well, how do you think you could possibly save yourself under those circumstances? How can you do good when you aren't any good? Why, he said, how can anything good come? He said, a tree is known by its fruit. He said a corrupt tree gives off corrupt fruit. Look at the works of man. You find something. What? That he's corrupt. He has a depraved, evil nature about him, and he's lost his ability to discern between good and evil. He calls evil good and good evil. Why, you know that if you know anything about this Bible. You know that that which we're doing in this building today is termed as evil by some people out there. Some of them are religious-minded people. They're a bunch of hypocritical Pharisees that say that we're evil in what we're doing. Why, there are people say that if you preach the damnation of hell and preach the fires of hell and preach that lost believers are going to slide into hell and fry like a sausage in hell and burn in hell, that you're evil to do that, and you're causing the minds of innocent children to be twisted and warped with all that hatred and so forth. Oh, baloney. I want to say, oh, shut up. That's exactly what the Bible said. The Bible said the things that God said. He said that the whole world might be guilty before mouth God, and every mouth might be closed. God said, shut your mouth. He said, you don't know what you're talking about. Why, some little girl go to some church where a preacher gets up and preaches on hell and preaches that the rich man went to hell and in hell lift up his eyes and burned in torments there and the fires and the flames about him and express that dramatically, and that little girl go home and tell her mother and dad, and they say, oh my goodness, that evil man up there is warping your little mind to believe such horrible things. Why, we know that God is good and God has no anger and oh, God loves everybody. Oh, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Say, well, don't God love everybody? No. Say, well, John 3:16 says it does. Doesn't say any such thing. John 3:16 said, God so loved, past tense, the world that he gave his only begotten son. But many have rejected his begotten son. And John chapter 3 verse 36 said, he that hath the son hath life, but he that hath not the son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And if you do not have the son of God as your savior this morning, the wrath of God abides on you. And if you die without Jesus, you'll burn in hell. And there is no ifs and ands about that. Man has become morally depraved. He's lost his knowledge. Number three, he became subject to deception. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Man has become subject to deception. Why, there are some people probably will listen to these tapes that we send out, that you've been deceived into believing that because you're a member of the Roman Catholic Church, you're going to be acceptable before God someday. Why, you know better than that. Just plain old common sense tells you that there ain't no way that some morally depraved man can stand over a table with some wafers on it and say a lot of jibber-jabber over them and turn them into the flesh of Jesus Christ and offer as a sacrifice for you. If you believe that, you are more than morally depraved. You got a mental problem, sure enough. But that isn't all. If you've got the idea that that morally depraved individual, that black or white robe, whichever he's got, somebody said they call themselves fathers, look like mothers, and they're neither. Well, I don't know about that. But if you got the idea of him standing there over that table and taking a glass of hooch in his hand there and saying some mumbo-jumbo over that and turning that into the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has already gone into the ground and rotted in the ground, then you really have a problem between your ears. No way, beloved. Man has become subject to deception. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest they should see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The God of this world has suckered you into joining that organization, joining that church, or being a member of that church or refusing to come out of that church, and he suckered you into doing that so that he can damn your soul to hell rather than for you to be saved and be a part of the church, which is the body of Christ. Man has become subject to deception. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him," so forth and so on. Now go to verse 13, "For such," those that preach and do such things. Well, look at them in verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, and they glory in their own flesh, they may be found even as we." And let me show you them before I read the... Hold on to 2 Corinthians and look in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Romans 16, 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." And if you've got sense enough to read sixth grade English, you can read the book of Romans and know that there ain't no priest or pope in the world, that is serving the Lord Jesus Christ according to the doctrine of the book of Romans. Therefore, he is serving his own belly. He's a belly worshiper. And look what God calls him in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now that's clear. Man has been made subject to deception by the fall. He has become morally depraved, lost his ability to discern between good and evil, and became subject to deception. And if my words are too strong for you this morning, then you've got a problem yourself. You've not only got a moral problem, you've got a deception problem yourself. You could no more have stood the preaching and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ than my cat could. Look in Romans chapter 7, please. Man has become subject to deception. Romans chapter 7. Look what Paul says about himself here. Romans chapter 7. And look at verse 11. Romans 7, verse 11. "For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it the commandments slew me." Man is subject to deception. Look in Romans, look in Matthew, Matthew 24. Matthew 24. In Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 10. "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many." Turn, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll start in verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Why, look at the context that he's reading there. Verse 1, "This know also that in the latter days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, Come down to verse 5. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep in the houses. And every time I read that, I think about the creeping things that are unclean. Back in Leviticus 11 and so forth. This sort are they which creep in the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. I think about roaches. Roaches are creeping things that creep in the houses. But you know what will put that roach on the run? Turn the lights on, that doodle scamper. Every time the light is turned on, a roach can't stand it. And when the light of the Word of God is turned upon these individuals, they run for cover. They can't stand it. I never seen a roach yet stand up and fight. Turn, please, to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13, verse 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven and the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which they had power to do in the sight of the beast. Why, if you believe that there are men today that have power to lay hands on sick people and command the demons to depart from them and stand there and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, I rebuke you and depart from this individual. If you are so vain and whatever that you do believe that stuff, then you fit into this category. You are deceived. Satan has deceived you. The God of this world has deceived you. And you are about to fall off into hell. The problem with you is you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, so that the Spirit of God will come into you, so that by the Spirit of God you will have the wisdom of God, and by the wisdom of God you will understand that which is good versus that which is bad. You'll be able to discern between good and evil. All right, man lost the image of God. He lost his moral characteristics and became morally depraved. He's morally bankrupt. Number two, he lost his knowledge. He can't discern between good and evil. Number three, he became subject to deception. And number four, he lost his power and authority. Turn, please, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now, look in in chapter 3, verse 13, chapter 3, verse 13, "The Lord said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." I didn't go back far enough. Go to verse 12. "The man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Well, he certainly is not doing what God told him to do then. If the woman gave it to him and he ate, he's become subject, not the king. He's the king-y, I guess. She seems to be running the household at that time. And it seems that women generally have down through the years, and they're getting more strong every day. But the point is, man lost his power and authority. Now, turn, please, to Genesis chapter 2. I look in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou may not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now here's my point. Man had power. That is, he had the power not to sin. And he, lost that power. You don't have the power not to sin by your nature that you got from your father. You do not have that power. You can't get victory over sin by your own evil nature. There isn't a drunk in this world that ever gained the power by his own evil nature not to be drunk again. Why, every alcoholic I ever knew, when he got on the wagon, got with somebody else or did certain things or whatever to keep himself from going back to that same booze again. But as a rule, every one of them eventually will go back. You can't have the victory without the power of God working in you. Man lost his power not to sin. Man lost his authority over the world. Notice the authority there. Turn, please, to Revelation chapter 13 again, please. Revelation chapter 13, this is clear. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be he killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. No doubt about it, man lost the authority that God gave him, and Satan has retained that authority, and Satan is the god of this earth. He's the king of this world today, and man in his own evil nature is subject to the devil, which is his king, and there's no doubt about that. Now, he lost the power not to sin. Look at Paul in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, Romans 7, 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. What I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, it is I consent unto the law that it is good. And now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. No doubt about that. Paul did not have the power within himself to live victorious over sin. Well, then how could he do it? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, make it 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. The Bible said, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Well, how can you have this? You can't without receiving Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, because you can't get the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God can't deal with you to give you victory unless you're saved. Man in his natural state is morally bankrupt. He's lost his knowledge. He's subject to deception. He's lost his authority in this world. His king is the devil, the god of this world, and he's lost the power to be good. The fifth thing, the last thing, he cannot save himself. Turn, please, to Psalm 49. Psalm 49. He cannot save himself. Psalm 49. And the context is about man. Verse 5. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel should compass me about? They that trust in their wealth, and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. And if I skip that, verse 7, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Verse 9, that he should live, still live forever, and not see corruption. You can't save yourself. You don't have the ability within you to be good, and if you can't be good, then you can't get to heaven. The only people that are going to appear before God are those that are just and righteous and you're not righteous, you're depraved, and we've already seen that the word depraved means crooked, and crooked is contrary to righteous, and if you're crooked, you're not righteous, and if you're not righteous, you can't appear in the presence of God. You can't save yourself. Impossible for you to go to heaven in your own state. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, the passage is clear now. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, verse 7. A reference to the Lord, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Look in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans 3. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now verse 24, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Salvation is by faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please compare 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Redemption is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Justification is by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, well, what are you redeemed with? But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Redemption is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is clear. Then you got to be redeemed. And no man can redeem another man. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none good, and the sacrifice has to be perfect, and the only perfect sacrifice that was ever made, the only perfect, sinless sacrifice ever made by man is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God sacrificed His Son on Calvary for your sins. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. God knew that you were everything that I just said about you in this message. God knew you were morally depraved, that you didn't have the ability to discern between good and evil, that you were subject to deception, that you'd lost your power to live better and live over sin, and God knew you can't save yourself, so God gave a sacrifice for you. And watch the passage, John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I believe that God Almighty gave a sacrifice. That sacrifice is His sinless Son. And that by the sacrifice of His Son, God redeemed me unto Himself by my faith in Him. And I believe that. I've heard God's word. I believe God's word. And believing on God, having given that sacrifice for me, He said, I now have everlasting life, and that I will not come into condemnation, but I am now passed from death unto life. According to the passage, if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, believing that God gave Him as a sacrifice for your sin, and you believe on Him as your Savior, God said in the verse that you now have everlasting life, and that you have passed from death unto life, and that there is no condemnation in you now. That's clear. And if you have received Jesus as your Savior, trusting that He died for your sins, was buried, and that God raised Him from the dead, and allow somebody to convince you you're not saved, then you're believing them above the words that God said to you. You're calling God a liar. God said that if you've trusted His Son as your Savior, you've got eternal life. I believe that I've got eternal life. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well then, I believe that Jesus died for my sins with all my heart. I confess him now as my Savior. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And according to the verse, God said, I've got eternal life. I am saved. I'm saved by grace through faith. And according to Romans 5, verse 1, I am justified. Being justified by faith, I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 9 said, being justified, I shall be saved from wrath through him. I'm saved even though I've lost my, I am morally depraved. I lost the moral characteristics of God. Or rather, Adam did, and I was born morally depraved. I do not have the ability in my natural state to discern between good and evil. I am subject to deception without the Spirit and without the Word of God. I lost my power and authority that God gave to Adam. And I could never save myself. But in spite of all this, I am saved by grace through faith. I believe on Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I know that I have eternal life. You can have the same assurance, even though you're wicked, even though you're crooked, even though you've been deceived, you can have the same confidence.